Hello, and this is Mike Harbath with this week's Revenue Rocket Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Bloomington, Minnesota. As a reminder for all of our listeners, Revenue Rocket is a premier M&A and growth strategy advisor to IT services companies worldwide. Today, we're talking about M&A process readiness. We're going to be a little bit in the weeds about how do you get ready to be able to either run an M&A process and sell your firm, or to kind of take an inquiry from someone who may be looking to acquire your business. I'll turn it over to Ryan. I'm here today with Ryan Barnett and Matt Lockhart, my partners in the business, for their insights as well. Ryan?
Hey, good morning, Matt, and good morning, Mike. Thanks for putting this together. When you enter a process to either buy a company or sell one, it's difficult, and it really shouldn't be taken lightly. You really have to plan what's coming up and how that acquisition is going to play in your future. If you're buying a company, you have to see strategically, why are you doing that? And if you're selling your company, you have to understand, am I really ready to do so? So today, I guess I have some questions for both Mike and Matt, who are experts in this field, and you've helped companies become ready, to ask, you know, why readiness matters in general. So if we think about this, we're kind of break it down into strategic readiness, operational readiness, and I would say there's some just straight up financial readiness. And just starting at the strategic readiness part, companies need to understand why they're doing this process. Mike, I'd love to know, you know, what are some starting thoughts that people should have when considering an M&A transaction?
Wow. You know, from a strategic perspective, I think, you know, we've talked a lot about over the years that as a seller, mentally, you need to be in the right spot to sell, right? You have to decide that it's time for you to either sell in or sell out, as I call it, right? There is no right answer there, but being transparent about what your intentions are is super important. So, and that's whether you're an individual or a partner group. You know, we work in situations where we have fairly large partner groups. You know, it might be an ESOP or it might be a group of partners that's, you know, 3, 4, 5, 10 people, or it might be an individual. But in any case, the partner group or the individual has to be in alignment with what each of the individuals is going to do post transaction, probably critical to getting it figured out. Likewise, if you're, you know, a buyer, you have to understand, you know, are we in a position to take some risk? Are we in a position to want to grow through acquisition and take on some of those challenges? You know, do we have realistic expectations? And I'd say that's certainly the case for both buyers and sellers. You know, we recently did a podcast around, you know, expectations of, you know, hearing about sort of crazy multiples in the market vis-a-vis maybe a deal you're already working on, and how a lot of that is hyperbole and just not factual. And, you know, so, but having realistic expectations about what your number is, if you're a seller, and that's based in, you know, market research and reality by going through evaluation exercise. Likewise, if you're a buyer, understanding what the market is and what you have to pay to get a deal done, those are super important attributes, because if a buyer and you're expecting to buy below market, that's just not going to work. If you're a seller and you're expecting to sell above market, it's also very unlikely that that's going to occur. As I've said many, many times, you know, no unfair deals get done. They just don't. There's too many advisors and, you know, accountants and lawyers and M&A advisors in the mix to expect that deal, that all of those folks that are putting their name on the deal are going to allow a transaction to occur that's quote unquote unfair or bias to one party or the other, in a way that's, you know, materially tilted. So I think understanding that and, you know, being strategically ready certainly is really, really important as you begin to think about entering into a process.
Yeah, that's awesome, Mike. You know, if you break M&A down in a sort of very simplistically, at least from my experience, right, the two biggest strategic means or strategic goals that you will find is that on one side, it's about market expansion, right? We're looking to expand our marketplace. That could be geographically, that could be internationally. It could be, you know, we just need to gain revenue. We need to gain EBITDA. There are strategic goals around any of those areas. So sort of market expansion. On the other side, you are filling capability gaps, right? You are expanding capability for a buyer. And I think both buyers and sellers first need to answer that question. What is the priority in doing an acquisition? And so if you think about that from a seller's view, you know, it's like, well, how do we answer that question for potential buyers? You know, so many times that we see somebody coming to us and they're interested in selling. And they say, I had a great year, right? I had a great year. So now's the time to sell. And they think that they're going to be able to get the, you know, just the craziest valuation ever because they had a great year. And they haven't really thought about strategically what are the values that they're going to be able to provide to a potential buyer. And I think that you really need to answer those questions. Now, the best is you can sort of check both of those boxes, that you demonstrate a market expansion opportunity, and because what you are providing to your customers is so much better, or is better, is competitive, that you're going to be able to check some boxes on capability expansion as well.
The strategic importance of finding that the type of target, I think, is critical. Matt, you and I were talking, and Mike and I, we're all talking this week about the concept of IPP and APP. And IPP, your ideal prospect profile, something in the center of the bullseye, someone that's perfect for what you can go after. If you're going to go after something that's tight, and let's say fills a niche of both target market and a vertical market speciality and productization, to find that, just prepare yourself for a very long hunt. But Matt, maybe you can talk a little bit about that IPP and APP when it comes to readiness. Love to hear your thoughts there.
Well, I think that's great, Ryan. You know, oftentimes, let's first off, and buy side M&A is not trivial. It's not easy. You know, oftentimes, you know, we see customers who are like, look, I got a check, right? I got a check for this amount. And so this is going to be easy to go out and find a firm to buy because I got a check for this amount. And you kind of need to reset some expectations there, right? And you go, well, first off, you need to be attractive to a potential seller. And so identifying that ideal prospect and why you would be attractive to that potential seller is super important. Now, right, you need to sort of expand that purview. When we, you know, it visually, if you think about that IPP being the bullseye of a dartboard, right? And you go, okay, well, man, let's go hit that bullseye. Well, you know, for anybody who's played darts, you know, it's not necessarily easy to hit that bullseye. However, if you hit that next ring on the dartboard, you're going to be awfully successful and you are going to meet your strategic goals. And that may be considered your APP, your acceptable, you know, prospect profile. And the other thing that I might comment is that if your strategy is so hardened, right, and there's very little flexibility in that strategy, well, it may be a little bit harder. And now, I might give you some guidance that you need to increase your agile and lean thinking. But again, buy side M&A is part and parcel to being competitively advantaged in the marketplace. In tech, it's almost an absolute no-brainer that you have an ongoing buy-side M&A strategy, right? And you understand that it takes some time, and you really identify that APP versus that IPP. I think great comment, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks. I think sellers have the same message. So if you go to market as a seller, an advisor will tell you that it's hard to predict where a buyer is going to come from. And the reason why is we never know if someone is going to try to expand strategically into an area that they're not in today, or if they're trying to double down on the current market. So it's great to have that open mindset. And I think that open mindset is very important in readiness. Can you get a deal done? A lot of that comes down to understanding the fluidity of the marketplace and what you like to do. Other portion, Mike, and I'd love to get your idea, and this is, again, on the strategic side, is management intention. Mike, maybe start off with, on the buy side, why understanding the intention of what the management team does for the seller, how a buyer should think about that when getting ready.
Well, certainly understanding, you know, the IPP and APP about what you would like a management team to do in that prospect is critically important. So as a buyer, you need to understand, are you looking to, I don't want to say set and forget, but at least acquire a business, support that management team to create value in that business over time with that company on your portfolio strategic investments? Or are you looking to integrate the business immediately, make changes in headcount so you can get synergies, and be in a position to get, you know, a true 1+1=3 due to synergies, right? Is it all about synergies and making changes? And having clarity in your mind about what you want to do as a buyer, what you're targeting, helps firms like us that do buy-side deals to identify the right target, right? Likewise, if you're a seller, you got to have real clear guidance on that, or at least in your own head, as to what you want as a leader, as well as the leaders in your business. And there is no right or wrong answer. A lot of people think, well, you know, in order to sell my business, I have to plan to stick with it for 3 to 5 years and blah, blah, blah. It's not really the case. You just have to have clarity about what you want and be transparent about that, because then it'll align to the right buyer strategically.
The other thing I'll add in this discussion on strategic readiness is the importance of getting the foundations right. And this is just running a business correctly and getting, you know, just being present. I'll give it a great example. Your website has got to be up to par. It has to have a working website that's up to date, at least in the, you know, hopefully in the sense 2016. We have to have a view of going after of future trends and being able to execute upon sales and marketing activities. And this is not only on the sell side, but on the buy side just as much. Sellers want a strategic buyer, and you have to be able to have the foundations covered, even just to start that. So we have slowed down deals because we've had to have someone redo a website. And after that was done, we found a remarkable improvement in the process. So it's, you know, critically important to do that. And just to end this on the strategic side, Matt, what should someone do if they're not strategically ready?
Not start the process. I mean, and identify and work with an advisor as to what real readiness looks like. and then create a plan and fill those gaps. You know, I mean, shoot, let's talk about some scenarios. Well, yeah, Ryan, you just raised one, which is they don't look ready, right? And their website doesn't reflect their values, and or it's out of date, or, you know, whatever that may be. You could go to, you know, they've had a great year. The underlying financials are actually quite solid. But how that is viewed on their balance sheet, you know, maybe they've got separate operations and they don't have a consolidated balance sheet, or, you know, for a smaller firm, they may be cash-based accounting and you know that it's going to be, super valuable, for them to be able to demonstrate an accrual-based accounting method and have that seen. They need to select who is going to be involved in the process and then ready, those people with their corresponding messaging. There's just a whole bunch of things that, that create, readiness and readiness, especially for a seller, should equate to, maximizing valuation. And then correspondingly for a buyer, you know, we talked about that strategic discussion, but how do they look? What is the opportunity for sellers within their business? What is their management and leadership philosophies, and how can that be attractive to a potential seller? I mean, there's just a whole bunch of things. And if you're not ready, then you need to create the plan. As opposed to think that you can just start the process and it's all going to come together. Now, that plan can be created and executed upon in a quarter, right? And so it's not as though it's a mountain that's insurmountable to overcome. But, you know, first and foremost is, you know, work with a good advisor who's going to be able to guide you and work with you along those lines, who's done it before, and they're going to assist you and allow you to progress your overall M&A plan more effectively.
If we switch the table and look for financial readiness, Mike, I'd love to get your opinion on this. What does a company need to do, or what's perhaps the guiding points of knowing are you ready or not?
Yeah, a lot of thoughts on this. So, certainly being able to have, a clear set of financials, particularly if you do business in multi-country or multi-currency, you need to be able to have a very clear understanding of each country's business and then a consolidated set of financials. So we work with a lot of international buyers and sellers, and sometimes this is tricky, right? Particularly if you're in countries in, you know, LATAM or Asia or others that have had some, tumult as it relates to the political climate or inflationary pressures, which I guess, you know, is certainly the case in North America now, but, in certain areas of the world, it's even more challenging. So being able to have your numbers tie out, make sure that they're meaningfully at a minimum reviewed by your accountant, and there's an opinion about that. Audits aren't necessarily necessary. Certainly they don't hurt. If you're preparing to sell, you might want to consider it. But at least a compilation or a review of your financials by a credible accounting firm ahead of time and, you know, making the investment to have those done is probably a good strategy. If there's gaps in your accounting practice, your policy, your procedures, or your numbers from the last 5 years or so, and most importantly, your gaps in your accounting standard operating procedure today, meaning it's not standard or it's not generally aligned to GAAP, you need to get that figured out. We know that most small businesses don't absolutely adhere 100% to GAAP, and there's some reasons for that. That's not a problem, but they should be in alignment with best practice. And so take the time to work with an outside advisor or an accounting firm to make sure that someone who's evaluating your numbers can do so easily and efficiently and credibly. Otherwise, you're in for some pain because that'll have to be done as part of the transaction. And it can mean that it'll either negatively impact the deal in the sense that it won't get done, or it could negatively impact valuation, more importantly. And so I think to credibly get to a valuation, you're going to have those numbers in order, and to credibly get through a due diligence process, they will have to be in order as well.
Matt, any thoughts on the financial readiness?
Well, I think Mike covered most of it. I think transparency, making it easy for somebody to understand. That's why, at least if it's not in GAAP standards, easy to best practice standards. Any, you know, credible M&A advisor is going to be able to help, you know, and but you got to be transparent. You can't be trying to hide things and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then the only the other thing as it pertains to the financials, I believe, is thinking about the forecast, right? Forecast adds, you know, really has an aspect on overall valuation. And you know, if you think about your forecast as, well, throwing a dart at a dartboard, to use an analogy twice, well, that's not going to be real credible. You need to talk about your forecasting methodology, how that corresponds to your past history in meeting forecasts, how that corresponds to your pipeline of business today, and breaking down repeat revenue versus new revenue, and all of those things. And so, you know, that's the only other aspect of the financial readiness that, you know, I think a lot of people go in not thinking about, because they think that that valuation is just, you know, is just going to be trailing 12 based, right?
Yeah, I'll add one more thing, Matt. You know, taxes are important. You need to have paid your taxes. You need to have resolved any audits. And you need to make sure that there are obviously no tax liens in place. That is a fatal flaw. We've seen it creep up late in the process in some cases, when their lawyers are doing background searches on a company that they're going to acquire. And that'll blow up a deal on its face. So don't expect that you're going to come to a conversation with a buyer where you have some skeletons in the closet that you haven't disclosed, or tax issues or issues with tax authorities, regardless of the country that might be in, that haven't been resolved. So, you know, be proactive about that. Make sure that your taxes are current, that they're paid, that any, you know, liens, if there had been liens, that those have been resolved, and that any audits, what the outputs of those audits are, the documentations around that audit, that's pretty critical stuff as well.
Great advice from both of you. That's all the questions I got for today. Mike, I'll throw it over to you.
Sounds great, Ryan. Thanks. So with that, we'll tie a ribbon on it. Make it a great day and a week. Take care.